AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello, Pod. I'm Chris Hewitt, and welcome to the latest episode of The Shameless Plug, the monthly show in which I get together with Empire editor Nick Desemlian. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Chris.
And we shamelessly plug the new issue of Empire.
We do indeed.
We do. Halfway through its life cycle, on sale right now on all good, evil, and virtual newsagents. It is issue. God, what issue number is it? 441. Nick.
Wow.
Do you know what issue number your first issue was?
My first issue working on the mag?
Yeah.
It was Tom Cruise.
Right.
Still around on the cover of Empire, and it was Collateral. So 2004.
Uh-huh.
I'm Googling this now.
Yeah.
This is audio gold. Oh, gosh. You don't get the number on the front.
You don't get the number on the front.
Oh, this is bad. This is bad audio.
This is very bad.
This is very bad. It was October 2004, so...
Right. That's not helped me. Okay, but good. I'm glad we went down that little cul-de-sac. That was fun.
I have no idea.
But the first cover was, the first issue I worked on was, I believe, the Mexican? I think I remember the Mexican or Planet of the Apes. I seem to recall that being one of the covers.
The Mexican issue. Free Burrito.
Yeah, it was Julia Roberts and Brad Pitt on the cover.
James Gandolfini?
He was not on the cover.
Okay.
He'd be on a subscriber's cover. He would get the subs cover all to himself. But no, it was just Pitt and Roberts. And if I remember rightly, 24 years on, it was a very, very late substitute for something else that dropped out at the last minute, which is why the cover image is shit. All right. So there we go.
But the cover image for this issue is not shit. That's a good segue, Chris.
Issue 441 of Empire Magazine. What's on the cover, Nick?
It's our most attractive cover star. And I'm not talking about Scarlett Johansson.
I'm talking about
the giant flying dinosaur.
What? Because the movie is Jurassic World Rebirth.
No colon. The dinosaurs have eaten the colon, and it's just Jurassic World Rebirth. And Chris, I'm going to test you.
Yeah.
What is the name of that dinosaur?
I don't know. Cover? Jeff.
It's not Jeff. What is this species? Because this is very exciting.
Is this a new species?
A T-Rex on the cover of the original Jurassic Park. We have had the Indominus Rex for the first Jurassic World.
Yep.
This one is a Quetzalcoatlus.
No.
People who are really cool call it the Quetz.
Wow.
So just call it, just go, hey man, check out the Quetz.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
A Quetzalcoatl, I can't even say it. That is the same kind of species of dinosaur that nests in the Chrysler building in Larry Cohen's Cue, The Winged Serpent.
Which does have a colon.
It does have a colon, yeah. It does. Good movie. Check it out. I think last time I checked, it was on Prime Video. This is not on Prime Video. Jurassic World Rebirth is going to be in cinemas in July, July 2nd. We have gone early. Nick, this is a great issue. What a cover, though. I mean, this is an unusual cover. So, this is a shameless plug, but also what we're trying to do with this is we try and throw a little light on choices that are made during the making of the magazine. Traditionally speaking, an Empire cover has one or more stars of the movie standing, looking directly at the camera, making eye contact with the camera. You've kind of moved away from that a little bit recently. We had the Tom Cruise Mission Impossible Final Reckoning cover where he was on the biplane.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have this, which is Scarlett hanging from a waterfall whilst Q, the Winged Serpent, squawks at her.
Yeah. So we have had, so last time we had Jurassic World on the cover, Jurassic World Dominion, we did two covers and we shot the kind of legacy cast and the new cast on two separate covers.
Yeah.
We incorporated dinosaurs. Some of them were added digitally. Some of them were actually there on the day, practical dinosaurs. It took ages to
Don't call them practical dinosaurs. Call them Sam Neill, Laura Dern and Jeff Goldblum.
That's very rude.
Come on.
That's very mean. But the lovely, glamorous stars, all of them, were across two covers. So we have had, so we did do that last time. Now, the big difficulty with the Jurassic films and Jurassic putting them films on the cover is the scale, right?
Yeah,
the scales. Like getting, and the scales. But having a dinosaur and a human on the same cover is very tricky because one of them is considerably larger than the other. So that is a problem that we were trying to figure out, and we wanted to do something a bit different. We investigated a few different things to let you, whoever's listening, you guys in on, you know, a few secrets. We did have a concept that was going to be multiple covers, which was going to be land, air, and sea. And there was going to be dinosaur action, three covers. And then we saw this image and threw that out the window. Because is this land or is this air or is it sea?
It's all three, right?
It's all kind of mixed in. But we saw this image. We loved it. We thought this could make a really exciting, dynamic, cool thing. And it's got a human star and a dinosaur in the same shot. And it works really well.
Scarlett Johansson is on the cover with Jeff, the Quetzalcoatl. Very, very exciting indeed. Okay, Nick. So cover line here says Jurassic World Rebirth. Scarlett Johansson heads up the ultimate dinosaur adventure. Hold on to your butts. Good reference. It also says in all caps, in red, world-beating access. Now, a couple of people have asked, in reaction to the first two episodes of The Shameless Plug, if we could shed some light again on decisions that are made. And you sent Dan Jolin on set of this. Dan Jolin wrote the feature. Dan Jolin spoke to everybody. He spoke to Gareth Edwards, the director, David Kep, who wrote the screenplay for this, and of course the original Jurassic Park and the Lost World of Jurassic Park. He spoke to the entire cast, principal cast, because you're obviously not going to speak to the guy who plays, you know, janitor number two. He spoke to Scarlett, he spoke to Mahershala Ali, he spoke to Jonathan Bailey, Rupert Friend.
Yep.
Did he speak to Jeff the Quetzalcoatl?
Spoke to Jeff.
Good.
Didn't run it because it was a load of gibberish. It was mostly hisses and squawks.
And he was on set.
And he was not only on set, he was in the edit bay with Gareth. So Gareth Edwards is a long time, someone we've championed in Empire for a long time. We did a feature on Monsters. I believe we took him out into a desert.
We took Whitney Able and Scoot McNairy, the stars of that movie, out to the desert.
And we dug a giant
foot.
But
someone did. I didn't personally do it. This genuinely wasn't CG. Go back and check this feature out. Was it a feature or was it my section initially? Yeah. And then I think we liked the picture so much I hate this idea that the feature section is an upgrade on news, but it was promoted, so to speak.
But a giant footstep was dug in a desert, which I believe took an entire night.
Austin Hargraves, right? The photographer?
I believe it was Austin, yeah.
Yeah.
Who I've done a lot of stuff with. And that began our kind of, you know, us supporting Gareth and championing him, and he's been great to us. And he got us on set for some really exciting. Dan was there when there were some people playing raptors. They were kind of like standing in for raptors. They had helmets on with kind of raptor things.
Amazing.
And there are a few sets that are more fun to be on than Jurassic. I got to go on the Dominion one myself.
Well, this is what I was going to say. This is the reason I brought it up.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about choices of writer and stuff, and how you assign writers to features. Because you did the features, correct me if I'm wrong here, for all three previous Jurassic World movies,
yes,
right?
That's true.
You are Empire's resident Jurassic expert. You were very much the Nedry of the office.
I prefer to think of myself as the Edmund, as you'll know, my Jurassic World character name.
The Edmund Origins movie
that Colin Trevorrow promised me posted on Twitter. Did not happen.
Didn't happen.
I'm holding out hope still.
So you didn't, but you did all three.
But I did all
previously.
Three. Yeah.
And let's be honest, let's pull back the curtain a bit further. You sent yourself on at least two of those. You didn't send yourself on this one. So talk me through the process. How do you choose a writer for something like a cover feature?
Well, I think the first thing is passion, right? I think we all have our own areas that we love. You love DC films.
I love DC films.
You're famous that you only love DC. You hate Marvel.
I just watched Aquaman The Lost Kingdom for the 14th time today.
Wow. That's why you're soaking wet and in spandex. But I think it comes from passion. I think it comes from... you know, has the person got any kind of pre-existing relationship with the filmmaker? I think sometimes that helps. And Dan, you know, had cross paths with Gareth quite a lot. And so they, you know, but I think it just it's.
But you didn't
know,
want to do this.
Obviously, Alex, as features editor, is picking people. Really,
yeah.
You know, he's much more involved in that than I am. But yeah, Dan seemed a great choice, and he did a great job.
Say so. Come on.
Well, yeah, that's not
bullshit, people.
We talk about these things.
But you didn't want to do this.
I didn't. I did. Well, yeah, for the reason that I'd already done three of them, and I thought it was someone else's go, and.
See, I don't think that way when it comes to the Marvel movies.
No. But I mean, but we divvy up the Marvel films. It's not like we do every single one of them.
No,
it's more like 92%. But, it's divided more or less equally.
I haven't done Fantastic Four, for example.
But I think, you know, I personally as a writer, like I think you do one or two or three. And then I think, you know, there comes a limit to how many times you want to write about dinosaurs. And this was a fresh installment. And a new kind of creative vision coming in. So you want to put a new writer on it.
Because you couldn't spell Quetzalcoatl, isn't it?
And I couldn't spell. And Jeff hated me. But I was training with Jeff Quetz.
But so, it's a great feature. It's a fantastic feature.
Now, I texted Dan just before we recorded this. And I asked him for two tidbits of information from his Jurassic World Rebirth set visit to share exclusively on this podcast.
You hear the rustling of the pages as I flick through the magazine. Yes, go.
These are not in the feature, but this is going to blow your mind.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Did you know that producer Frank Marshall, who has produced all the Jurassic films, is famous in Jurassic circles for cake diving? Have you heard this?
No.
Frank Marshall pratfalls into a giant cake, and it's not clear from Dan's text whether it's on other people's birthdays or just on his own, but he is famous for jumping into a giant cake. Now, Frank Marshall
we call it the reverse Eleniac.
Frank Marshall is not, you know, he's not, he's been around quite a few decades. And I'm impressed by this.
He's in his 70s, let's be honest.
Yeah. And he's famous for throwing big rap parties. He DJs. I can't remember his DJ name, but he told me about his.
Is it something to do with The Doctor? Because his Twitter handle, he was great on Twitter. I don't think he's on Twitter as much, but it's The Doctor.
It might be that, or it
something
might be
to do with that.
In Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. There's a, remember the train scene at the beginning? And there's a magic caboose.
Yes.
And it's got his magic name because he does magic
as well. Yes.
And I can't remember it. People listening are going to
Nor
remember.
Can I.
Sorry.
Nor can I.
But anyway, he has a great DJ name. It might be the same as that. He does magic and he does cake diving. Are you ready for the second fact?
I can't possibly top the first, but yes, go on.
So there's a slightly different design of T-Rex in this film to anything you've seen before.
Okay.
And how this happened was that Gareth came up with a whole menu of designs of different T-Rexes. Then he took it to Steven Spielberg and he said, which one do you like best? Steven Spielberg thought one of them looked like Javier Bardem and he picked that one. So they nicknamed it Javier Bardem.
Is that the one with the comb over? Is it because he's reminiscent of Anton Chigurh?
It's the one that just stands by the road creepily and waits for people to pick it up. So Dan pitched a movie where all of these T-Rexes are together called The Rex Men.
Oh, God.
And Gareth told him to pitch it to Universal.
Of course he did.
Shortly before leaving the room.
Yes.
So those are two bits of trivia you're only getting on the Shameless Plug.
That is incredible. There's an incentive to listen. Is this going to be a regular feature where you
bring information
that the writer didn't fit into the piece?
Stuff that was not good enough to put in the piece.
Wow.
This is where you've got to come for it.
So but imagine anyway. The feature has stuff that's even better than those two incredible nuggets of information. But there you go. It's an amazing cover feature, Jurassic World Rebirth. The opening sentence in Dan's feature is, "Liss beams Jonathan Bailey is about as Jurassic as it gets."
That's
so there you go.
Maximum Jurassic. I just want to also give a shout out to our subscriber cover, which is fantastic. In the cover story, we have two breakouts. One is on the T-Rex, because a scene that was almost in the original Jurassic Park back in 1993.
Jurassic Park.
It was T-Rex chasing some people in a river, and they're in a dinghy, and didn't make it into the original film.
Yeah.
But they brought it back for this film, so it's in it. So we've got a breakout on that, and we also have a breakout on the new mutant dinosaur called the Distortus Rex, or the D-Rex. And we have a fantastic...
The T-Rex.
The what?
The D-Rex.
The D-Rex.
Okay.
Yeah, so we got the T-Rex, and we got the D-Rex, and Tim McDonough, the Brighton-based illustrator, created that subs art for us, and it's very cool. It's like the D-Rex peeking out of jungle foliage with ominous yellow eyes.
Amazing stuff. All right, so that is the cover feature in this month's issue 441, Jurassic World Rebirth. It's got big D-Rex energy.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Then we move on to some of the other features. I'm going to race through the other features.
How to Train Your Dragon, I got to say, feels like it was a free, you know, we had the fish you with Jaws. Now that phrase has caught on because two people have used it on social media that I've seen. So that's the trend, the fish you. So I haven't worked out a name for this one, but it's got scaly creatures. It's got dinosaurs. It's also got dragons.
It also has Wes Anderson, who is the second feature.
It's not scaly.
It's not scaly. He's scarfy. He's got his lovely scarf. So this is a feature about Wes Anderson, whose new film, The Phoenician Scheme, is out next week in cinemas. No, this week. It's out today.
Yeah.
It's out today in cinemas as we're recording this, the 21st, and is very, very good indeed. And this is John Nugent went along to sit down with Wes Anderson.
Symmetrical writer.
Yeah. And the Nuge has spoken with Wes Anderson before. So again, this speaks to what you were saying. If you have someone who has a love of a filmmaker or has cultivated a relationship with the filmmaker, then they are more often than not in pole position to write that feature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a cracking piece. John had a long chat with Wes Anderson and talked about The Phoenician Scheme, but also talked about all of Wes's other films. And it's kind of broken down this feature into the sort of the trademarks, I guess, or the things that make him unique. So we've got it on the characters and how family is a big theme. We've got it on the production design. Just going through all those different things and getting insights from him.
Yes, it's great. I haven't read this yet. I'm very much looking forward to it. The opening paragraph, the telephone rings. A voice emerges from the other line, clear and crisp and deliberate. "Hello," says the voice. "This is Wes. I'm calling at exactly 5 o'clock, right on the dot," which is very Wes Anderson.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And you try and infuse the personality of whoever the subject of the piece is into the structure and the form even. So we've broken this down into chapters.
Yes.
And each one has a little title, like a punctilious prelude, which was really nice. And John did a brilliant job on this. It feels very Wes-y.
Very, very good indeed. Cannot wait to read that. Big Wes Anderson fan. And yes, I said Wes. I remember once got my knuckles wrapped by someone because apparently I'm mispronouncing a three-letter word. Apparently it's Wes, or Wes, but not, I say Wes.
The E is silent.
I don't know, it's one of those things. More often than not, again, Nick, you let, you choose the right writer, you choose someone who has knowledge of a subject, or who has a passion for something, or who has a relationship with a filmmaker. Sometimes you let a complete and utter fucking buffoon loose at something he knows very little about, cinema. And the next feature is one of those. Chris Hewitt wrote this one. It's Megan 2.0.
Well, much as John is our Wesiest writer, when it comes to writing about a sassy killing machine of diminutive height, you are our first and only choice.
Hold on to your vaginas. Here it comes.
It's Chris Hewitt. And yeah, why did you do this one?
I'm a huge fan of Megan.
You love Megan.
Yeah. I guess I'm Empire's horror guy. I'm Empire's a lot of things guy. But
are you going to start spelling Hewitt with a 3 guy instead of the E?
Yes. you've got my password.
Yeah. Yeah. Hewitt 2.0.
Pretty much, yeah. So this is a feature about Megan 2.0. I'm a huge fan of the original Megan. And for this, I spoke to a whole bunch of people. I spoke to Alison Williams, the star of the first movie, and of course this movie, who is now the producer of this film. I spoke to, who else did I speak to? I can't remember. Gerard Johnstone, who is the director of both Megans. I spoke to James Wan, who's the producer of both Megans. I talked to Afana Sakno, who is the brand new T-1000 style, as in she's an upgrade, not that she's made of liquid metal, nemesis for Megan in this movie. And I had a lot of fun doing these interviews. Alison Williams is hilarious, by the way. And she's my opening sentence. She's the subject of my opening sentence. Alison Williams can't quite put her finger on the moment when she knew that Megan, the all-singing, all-dancing, all-slaying doll who lent her name to the movie of the same name, had become a bona fide icon. Right away, Nick, you've got them by the jaffers.
It's punchy, it's quick, it's got everything you want.
It says, nothing says, that'll do more than that sentence.
Yeah.
But it's a great feature, written by a genius.
I got to say, I enjoyed it very, very much. I'm excited to see this film. I really like the first one too. I think this feature was beautifully designed
it
as
is
well, I gotta say.
Beautifully designed.
It's the colors, they pop.
They do, they pop. The colors don't pop in our next feature. My God, the segues are out of control here. Because our next feature is a profile, a Q&A with Sydney Sweeney. You may have heard of her. She's on the up and the up and the up. And this is a shoot as well. We did a shoot with Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah, this is a real production, as they say. So shout out, props to Chris Lupton, our esteemed creative director. And
I will
Joanna
bleep these names out, by the way.
Right.
Yeah. Those art people don't deserve any credit.
Well.
Yeah.
Joe and Chris, amazing work.
Damn it, God.
So they basically, this is the whole concept. This is we basically since we started doing the Empire Focus, the digital cover, we do a Q&A pretty much every issue with a big star. We got some exciting stuff cooking for future issues, but this is such a coup. I still can't believe Sydney Sweeney, who's maybe, you know, the most exciting rising star at the moment, or risen star. She's already huge. And obviously Euphoria, she got a new movie, Echo Valley. You know, everyone knows who Sydney Sweeney is. And so the idea was like, what do we do with the shoot time that we have? And the guys cooked up this amazing idea of like riffing on old sort of film noir photography and black and white kind of iconography from like the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
And went to town on it, and she got really into the spirit of it. I think the pictures speak for themselves.
Yes, indeed. And the interview was done by?
Rebecca Nicholson.
Rebecca Nicholson, Jack's daughter, Nepo baby. Rebecca Nicholson.
Yeah, and talked about Echo Valley, that she's in with Julianne Moore, talked about Euphoria season 3, which is filming or was filming at the time when she spoke to us, and also Barbarella. Which is interesting.
Yes.
She said she was just in London and had a meeting to talk about Barbarella, which is a film I'm pretty excited about.
Very good. Very good indeed.
So so the pictures are incredible. And you can go online. If you haven't read it, you can go online and read it.
You can and you should. Here's the opening sentence. Sydney Sweeney fears between worlds. I forgot to do my kind of Top Gear voice. I'll annoy Nick in the office by flipping to the first to the features and reading out the first sentence of features in a Top Gear voice, and it annoys Nick.
Yes,
so it's a new regular feature of this show as well. next one, next feature. It is a shameless plug. We're going to keep on shameless plugging. Is a profile of Jan de Bont,
the master of mayhem, as we have styled him. And this was a great pitch. This people ask, you know, how do I get my writing into Empire? Pitch us a great idea. And one that people haven't pitched us before. And, you know, we love Jan de Bont. Everyone loves Speed. Maybe not Speed 2, Cruise Control quite so much. But, you know, he shot Die Hard as cinematographer and has done amazing action films. And Sab Astley, as a freelancer, got in touch with Alex and pitched this idea and got amazing time with Jan de Bont. And I love a feature. You know, I've written about John McTiernan, and I love a feature with like an old master, you know, who's maybe not making films anymore, but has the best stories. And the stories here are crazy. It opens with the story of him shooting Raw, which is a film in which humans and real lions interact. And the poster for the film was Jan de Bont's head with basically a giant, all his hair missing and a giant claw mark on his head because the lion basically attacked him. And
blimey.
Yeah, so it starts with a hair-raising story involving lions, but there's great stuff about Speed, where Jan de Bont would like do stunts to show Keanu Reeves that it was safe. And it's a Twister. You get great stuff on Twister. And it's a very, very fun read.
Sounds absolutely terrific. The opening line, Jan de Bont was in a hole in the ground filming 1981 animal adventure comedy Roar when a lioness decided to improvise leapt onto him. You just want to keep reading.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of an opening line. You just grab them straight away. Right, moving on very quickly. How to Train Your Dragon. You promised it earlier on.
Yep.
You're scaling up. Oh my God, that's actually the headline of the feature. I did not know that.
Oh my gosh.
There we go.
It's the reptile issue.
It is.
Doesn't work as well as Fishu, but I still hope it catches on. Yes, our Beth Webb, our resident dragon trainer, went on set.
Mm-hmm.
Hung out with Jerry Butler, and Dean...
Dublois.
Dean Dublois, who is very Viking-like, walked past him in Soho not that long ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was he training the dragon?
He wasn't. But if he had, it would have made it even easier to recognize him. But yeah, she went on set and got to watch all kinds of dragon antics and see how they...
Set in Belfast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not set in Belfast. Filmed in Belfast, but set...
Set in Belfast.
It's set in Belfast?
The set was in Belfast.
Oh, the set was in Belfast.
Yeah.
The film is not set in Belfast.
It should be.
Are there dragons there?
Well, have you been to Belfast?
Oh my God. Cross that off the list. So yes, it's how they made Burke. Mm-hmm. And watched all kinds of dragon shenanigans happening. I love the original film. I really hope this one matches it. We'll see, or exceeds it.
Exciting. Yeah, it looks terrific. Opening line, Empire is in the arena. What does that mean? What arena? Why? Don't know. You have to read the feature to find out.
Read the second line, and you'll get more,
well,
more intel.
I'm not giving people that. I'm giving them... Lad and no more. Next feature, last feature this month, is a piece about Supergirl. Not the one that's out next year, but the one that was out 40 years ago.
Indeed. Well, this was kind of, I guess, a little bit inspired by the fact that there is a new Supergirl filming, or just finished filming. And it's another one that was pitched to us by freelancer Mike Ryan, great American writer. You may have read some of his great Q&As online. He brought us this idea, and he did an amazing job tracking down people from this film. In fact, he spoke to the director shortly before that director sadly passed away. Now...
Yes. Shenna Swartz.
Yeah. Who also directed Somewhere in Time, the Christopher Reeve film.
And Jaws 2.
Mm-hmm. And he spoke to us and told us some tales, hair-raising tales of Peter O'Toole. And
hair-raising or hell-raising? I guess Peter O'Toole and Peter Cook
hair-raising, probably both. Hair-raising tales of Peter O'Toole squirting some kind of liquid all around on the set.
Oh, and... no. Nobody wants that.
But it's a really good read. I didn't know any of this stuff, and it's a proper...
Have you ever seen it?
...crazy making of.
Have you seen it?
It's on my list to watch it now. I've never seen it.
Take it off your list immediately. it's not good. It's not good.
But you find out one thing I really loved about it was that Dolly Parton was offered the role of the villain Selina, and she said to the producers, "Do I come across as an evil witch to you?" And turned down $7 million.
She said, "No, Lean."
Yes, Jolene. I got it. Thank you. That's great.
Yeah. All right, that's the features. That's amazing. What a lineup. What a run. And again, just very, very quickly, in terms of how features are put together, you want a good mix, right? You want... features that are about movies that are just about to come out in cinemas, or sometimes even a few months in advance, and you want retro pieces, for want of a better word.
Yeah, kind of evergreen, I guess, is a word you could use.
Yeah.
You want a mix. You want some new stuff, some old stuff, some Q&As. You know, we talk a lot about variety, whether it's like the format of features or in the news section or in your section, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Mixing it up, you know, so it's not all just... very one note. So that comes down to, you know, the type of film, the type of people, the format, the pictures, everything. It's all just like, you know, like a recipe, like making a lot of different things. So yeah, and our retro stuff is sometimes the most popular things.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Jaws, people seem to really like that we did Jaws, which was very heartening.
Yeah.
It sort of, you know, encourages you to do more stuff like that. But I always find, like, once enough time has gone by, the real stories come out.
Yeah.
Like when you're talking to people and you're on set of a film, everyone is kind of in publicity mode. So, you know, you get great stuff. And sometimes people are honest, but sometimes it takes like 40 or 50 years until people are like,
"Tell me about the additional shooting." "Oh, well, it was just a couple of weeks."
Yeah.
20 years later.
Yeah.
"Oh, God, we were fucked. We had to reshoot 90% of the movie.
Peter O'Toole was squirting liquid." It was a nightmare.
Although I imagine 1984, they probably would have led with that on the press tour as well. The press tours were very, very different back then. Do you ever see the, very quickly, I know we've got to wrap it up soon, but do you ever see the, it's Chris Reeve on David Letterman? And he's promoting, I'm not sure if he's promoting Superman right at that moment, but he starts slagging off Marlon Brando. You ever seen that clip? It's incredible.
No.
Check it out. It's really like he's like, he did not enjoy working with Marlon Brando. He didn't think Brando took Superman seriously, which he didn't. Just didn't have a good time with him.
On the press tour for Rhinestone, Dolly Parton said Stallone was not a good kisser. That was a dark moment for all concerned.
Well, let's do a feature in that one as well.
Yes, yeah, Rhinestone.
Yeah, Rhinestone power. All right, so that's the feature section. Very, very quickly, going to shamelessly plug what else is in the magazine.
Well, the best I would say the best headline in the whole article, I believe this is one of yours,
the whole
Chris.
Article.
I hate to, in the whole issue.
Yeah.
I hate to give this to you, but Star Baker. For the Sean Baker Q&A.
That is correct. Terrific. That is correct.
Once I had it explained to me, because I don't watch those shows. but yeah, Alex, in your section, Alex Godfrey does a fantastic chat with Sean Baker. It was his first interview since winning the Oscar.
Yes.
And
he's now done more, but this was his first.
It was his first, and he had a lot of stuff to unpack. He kind of talked about, you know, going into therapy afterwards and finding it like a real head fuck that he'd won. And it's a really emotional, interesting interview.
It's fantastic. And we talked last month about, again, matching up the writer, the subject, and Alex has interviewed Sean Baker a number of times, including for the Empire podcast on a couple of occasions. And this is my section. I tend to do most of the interviews for this section. And I just felt that, you know, I wasn't the best placed person to get the story out of Sean Baker, and Alex was. And he more than delivered. This is a really, really great piece. So revealing and refresh. And Enora is out very, very soon. That's why we did it, because Enora's coming out. Oh, it's out now, in fact, because we work so far in advance. I don't know when anything is out anymore. But Enora's out now on Criterion Collection. That's why we did that. Also, my section, Amon Warman did a Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse masterpiece. The relatively new feature. This has only been in the magazine about a year or so. Time Capsule, where we sit down with actors and directors and show them images from their career and get them to talk about them. Yes, I ripped it off from Mark Cousin scene by scene. Shut the fuck up. This is a really good one with Jim Mangold, now that A Complete Unknown is out on all kinds of formats. And yeah, it was great. You know, just sitting down with him on Zoom, showing him pictures from all kinds of movies.
You go deep into my favorite sandwich-based scene in the whole of cinema history.
Oh my God, we talked about that for a long time.
The De Niro sandwich in Copland.
Yes.
If you have not seen Copland, skip all of it. Just skip straight to the sandwich.
Oh, Copland's so good. I think it might be my favorite Jim Mangold film, Copland.
I love Copland.
I really do. It's terrific. But we talked about all kinds of movies in there. The ranking is werewolf movies this month, which is a blast. We have the Russo brothers on The Electric State in the spoiler special bit. We had Penelope Spheeris. I spoke to Penelope Spheeris about the Bohemian Rhapsody scene in Wayne's World. Stephen Knight talked to James Dyer about his most enduring characters. That's my section. It's all good. What's the quiz this month?
I wrote the quiz. I had to write. It was the Muppets quiz. I had to write it. I had a good time doing it. Was it too hard? We talk a lot. I always think your quizzes are too hard.
I did change a couple of questions.
Okay.
I can't remember which ones.
Yeah.
Because there was one that was so fucking hard. I thought it was, to quote Quentin Tarantino, I thought
dirty
it was
pool.
Dirty pool.
Yeah.
I thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I changed one of your questions. But anyway, the questions about the quiz this month is about the Muppets.
Remember when we did Movie Mastermind with Quentin Tarantino and he's still angry? he's still angry, genuinely.
The one question
we did Movie Mastermind with him, I think in 2009. And the one question he got wrong was about his cameo in Muppet Wizard of Oz. And I went to the edit suite of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and he brought it up. 10 years later, in 2019, he brought it up. He said, you guys, I didn't admit that I'd written that question. But he was still fuming.
Because we were trying to
fuming, in a good-natured way.
How do you get Quentin Tarantino? How do you've got to dirty pool him. You've got to. All right, I'm going to ask you one question.
Okay.
Very, very quickly from this, see how well you know your own Muppet quiz. We got acquainted with Kermit's evil doppelganger, the world's most dangerous frog and Muppet's most wanted to name him.
Constantine.
Correct.
Yes!
All right. Okay, we have to wrap this bad boy up, which means we will go straight to Beth Webb's section.
Yes.
John Newton's section, which is the reviews section, is terrific. It has all the film and TV reviews that you could possibly wish to read. But Beth's
We've kind of mementoed it slightly. We may need to rethink the order because we've gone in an insane way. But we've ended up back at the beginning.
We have.
Not a bad place to be.
Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Yep. I forgot to do the opening line of Mike Ryan's Supergirl feature, but hey-ho. So there's lots of great stuff inside the first word section. We have a piece on Herbie, the lovable robot sidekick in the Fantastic Four First Steps, which John spoke to director Matt Shakman about Herbie.
Huge world exclusive. We've revealed what Herbie is cooking in that picture you may have seen of Herbie the robot stirring something. It is pasta sauce. That is a giant scoop. Literally a scoop.
That is amazing.
John Nugent shook hands with Herbie on set, Herbie the robot on set, which I love.
Oh my God.
I love that.
That's incredible. What else do we have? We have Heads of State, the new John Cena, Idris Elba comedy.
We have John Cena and Idris Elba. We spoke to them both.
That is tremendous. We have On a Roll, which is an actor doing a deep dive into how they prepared for a role. And this is, it's Owen Wilson talking about his new show, Stick, which is about golf. So automatically, I am predisposed to love it, except I don't have Apple TV Plus, so I will never watch it. But there you go. That's good. Let me see. What else? Ballerina, Sophie Butcher.
Which is a John Wick extravaganza, really, because Sophie spoke to Ana de Armas and Len Wiseman about Ballerina, which is the new John Wick spinoff. But we also talked to Chad Stahelski, who talked to us. We were the first people in the world that he talked to about John Wick 5, which he's now starting to cook up. And I'm convinced he's dead. Like, that's my memory, but fine. They're doing another one. Why not?
There's so much in this section.
Ironheart.
Packed.
We've got Zoe Saldana. We've got the world's first still from Avatar Fire and Ash.
What?
Like the very first frame that exists of that film. And it's Zoe Saldana looking, as Neytiri, looking extremely muddy. She looks annoyed.
She does
look
annoyed.
She's got a bow and arrow. She's hissing. It looks great.
This is our regular check-in on Avatar that we do every month. And this is, our first chat with a cast member, Zoe Saldana. I will say, no spoilers for next issue, it is not the last conversation with a cast member. What else do we have? We have, oh my God, how did this get in the magazine? Nick Desemlian has spoken to the cast of Deep Cover.
Oh yeah.
What the fuck?
Oh yeah. I talked to all three of them. Not even just one or two.
Orlando Bloom,
yep. Bryce Dallas Howard, yep. And Nick Mohammed,
my God,
about their new improv comedy, and that was really fun. And I like in the film, they're all playing kind of improv comedians, and Orlando Bloom plays this wannabe actor who takes himself too seriously, and he does a TV advert playing the Pizza Night, which is advertising like some kind of frozen pizza. And so I asked each of them, like, did you do an advert? Have you had like a weird experience doing an advert? And Orlando Bloom did one for a sugar-free cola.
Yeah.
And Nick Mohammed did one for a microwavable beef burger.
Wow.
And I was really hoping Bryce Dallas Howard had done some kind of food product so you could package it as a meal, but she hadn't.
Absolute gold.
You can cut that.
No, I'm not cutting that. That has to remain in. Yeah. And then the very, very last thing we're going to talk about is Pint of Milk, which is Zach Galifianakis, which I'm sure will be absolutely stupendous. Between two pints. Did you change any of my contents jokes this month?
I hope so.
Oh, my God. Let me see. That's good.
I should mention that we also shot Karate Kid Legend star Ben Wang. Not shot with a gun, but shot with a camera. And it's a fantastic shoot. It's him out on the street balancing on things and being all balletic and young and agile.
Look at that. That is all happening. The jokes aren't great in contents this month. All right. I'm just going to presume that you rewrote them all. Because I think the sad truth is I wrote them and they're not that great. But anyway, hey-ho, there it is. On that rather depressing note, that's it for Shameless Plug number 3. Where can people get this? Nick, where can people get the magazine?
Places, shops, train stations, bus depots,
airports. You don't have to buy a ticket for any of these conveniences.
Hen houses.
Yeah.
What's the Tommy Lee Jones speech? all of those places. Yeah. Tommy Lee Jones
outhouses,
lists in the fugitive. Yeah, out, you can find it in outhouses, in houses,
steakhouses, all kinds of houses. Physically, you can buy it in newsagents and supermarkets. You can also subscribe to it. EmpireOnline.com is the website to go to. You can get it as part of your VIP club package as well, your subscription. That's EmpireOnline.com/VIP. And it is cracking. And if you want the subs covers, which are amazing, then you have to subscribe. That's the way it works. All right, Nick. Another shameless plug is in our rearview mirror.
Another one. I hope it's been worth listening to. We've enjoyed it.
Yep.
Jeff the Quetz has enjoyed it, as he's now called. He kind of looks a bit friendly on that. You know, if you look at it in a certain way, he looks like he's just swinging by for a chat. I am excited for this film. I got to say, I am a sucker for a dinosaur movie, and I think Gareth will hopefully knock it out the park.
The Jurassic Park. What a great note in which to end. I'm going to finish by giving you my final line from my Megan 2.0 feature. Probably for the best.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it sums up the show. We have to end it now. And it's probably for the best. Thanks, Nick. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye-bye.